Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Just Get Started podcast. I'm your host, Brian Andrako, and thanks again for being a part of this journey. Have a tremendous episode in store today where I welcome in Casey Adams, who is the founder of Listener.com and host of the Casey Adams Show. Casey is an accomplished entrepreneur, personal branding expert, and renowned business podcaster. His journey began at the young age of 17 when he launched his podcast, The Casey Adams Show, which has quickly risen to become one of the top 100 business podcasts in the world. Over the years, Casey has interviewed hundreds of the most successful entrepreneurs, and notable guests include Larry King, Rick Ross, Mae Musk, Robert Greene, and David Sachs, among others. As the co-founder of MediaKits, a SaaS platform that allows creators to easily share their creator analytics, Casey has played an instrumental role in its success, which led to its acquisition by Viral Nation in 2022. All right, so let's jump into it. Without further ado, please welcome in Casey Adams. Casey, good to have you today.
Thanks so much for having me on. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I'm excited for this conversation and the depths we could go with getting started today with your experience. So this will be a lot of fun. So there's a bunch of areas I want to go. I really thought would be a fun place to start, because this is actually, you know, it's one of those things like you hear it three or four times, like in a row, these things, and all of a sudden it's top of mind. And I was talking about that. Actually, I was interviewing Joe DeCina. I'm not sure if you've had him on your podcast, the founder of Spartan.
I don't think I have. Oh, no, we've talked and I have not. We've talked and we're going to do it soon.
Awesome. Yeah, he's a really interesting guy and I love his story. So anyways, we were talking yesterday and the reason I wanted to bring this up to you, because we were talking about consistency and showing up and kind of the importance of this. And so I'm kind of curious your perspective. By the way, I noticed you and I started our podcast within like a week of each other, which is kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah. I started November of like around Thanksgiving of 2017. And I think you were right about the same time, which is kind of cool.
I was late December 2017 was my first podcast episode. And I probably had like a, 30-day build-up period of like, all right, I'm going to do it. Let's just get started in the sake of the show. Right. Yeah. But that's so cool that you knew that.
How long did you, we'll take a little tangent for a second, but like, how long did you think about starting the podcast before you actually even did any work, like maybe had your first interview, whatever you want to use as that kind of, hey, I started this. How long did you think about it and fret over, should I do it or not?
I got to say, it was not too long, right? I love the thesis of this show, Brian, and I think it's been quite the testament to like any success that I've had over the years, is to just get started. I remember like the book's right here, Crushing It by Gary Vee. I remember that. I believe it's the last chapter, one of the last chapters in the book. It's talked about podcasting. And it was one of those moments in my life where I was trying to put out content on social media. I was 17 years old. I got the entrepreneurial bug a year and a half ago after I almost got paralyzed playing football in a neck brace for 6 months, and which we will dive into, I'm sure. But right before starting the show, I remember reading this book and the last chapter was about podcasting, and Gary Vee was explaining how it's impactful for not only content, but meeting great people and learning from them, but also the business opportunities that can come from those conversations. And it wasn't that I didn't even think twice about it, but I just felt a natural curiosity in the medium. And I was listening to a handful of podcasts here and there, and I went ahead and recorded my first episode on a pair of wired Apple headphones. It had no fancy mics, no fancy Rodecaster like we're talking about. It was just me walking in a circle in my brother's room back home in Virginia, just saying, welcome to the show. The goal here is to interview founders and entrepreneurs. Not sure how or why people would want to talk to me, but that's the goal here. And 6 years, 500 plus interviews later, we're still rocking and rolling.
have you gone back and listened to episode one recently?
Oh, dude, I think I actually have, because a friend sent it to me and I just cringed. Like, it's hilarious thinking back of not only how I would carry myself, but just the not lack of care, but just I didn't think twice, right? Like, if I think about it now, it's one thing to feel like insecure and like, oh my God, that's so cringe. But back then, 2017, and still today, it's like that mentality of, I just want to put this out because I'm going to do it for me. I don't care what people think. I just want to do this and I'm just going to get started. But no, I don't listen to it often. Quite frankly, I never really watch or go back and listen to my own podcasts.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, I think it's one of those things too. I do, because like when I'm editing video and stuff, you maybe get so much of it, you know,
For sure.
You know, you'll kind of hear it. Well, it's interesting you said that, and I'm kind of curious maybe to go deeper down this, because, and we were talking a little earlier, you know, we're different generations. We're 17 years apart. I'm the older one, if no one can tell, if that's watching the video.
Hey, you look 25.
Brother. I appreciate you that, man. Great. Thank you very much. I'm going to make sure I hit this on replay all the time. I appreciate that. But what I had so much fear of starting, and, you know, I had a different career a dozen years ago, and I was very complacent in life. And I wonder if that's part of a generational thing, or do you see this with other younger folks you're talking with? Because the way you said it there was like, hey, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to start this, and I'm going to be, it seemed like there was a confidence there. Like, did you always have that with your life, or was that something that maybe was born out of that year and a half of kind of doing the research and starting to really feel like you had it in you? I'm kind of curious how you'd take that.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, I think for me, like self-confidence, I think is, it's not only so important, but for younger, like 12, 13 plus, like those years of, you know, you're going into high school and people can be so self-conscious. When I reflect on like my childhood, I'm the youngest of three brothers, and I was the kid that always like played up in my league. I would play on the older team with my brothers. I would, you know, in hockey and lacrosse and eventually football. And I felt that I've always needed to sort of like, you know, say yes before I was ready, like internally, right? Like if I wanted to, you know, play with my brother, I can't be afraid. I just got to step in the rink and know that all the kids are 4 years older than me, and we'll see how it goes. So I think just reflecting on that question, that's always been the case for me. But by no means have I not had insecurities or like a, you know, a fear of failure or doubt. You know, we all as humans, these are so natural to come across, but it's the ability to persevere even when you feel that way that truly makes not only discipline as a word, but just the pursuit of something so special, right? So from the podcast lens into the question, you know, coming out of this neck injury, and just for context for the audience, I was 16 years old or just turning 16, sophomore in high school, end up getting injured playing football, ended up in a neck brace for 6 months. It was one of those moments where one day I'm about to start running back, and I've been prepping for months of hard work, football practice. And the next day I'm at the doctor, and he says, post x-rays, you know, good news and bad news. Good news is you're not paralyzed, which could have been an outcome. Bad news is you can never play football again due to the instability of your spine. And we really got to see how you recover in terms of like your physical abilities. You know, I grew up snowboarding and just being so active on all fronts. And God forbid I have recovered well, even though I have some frequent neck pain, but I, you know, I run marathons, snowboard. I'm more active than ever today. But to my point though, coming into that injury prior to starting the podcast, prior to starting a business, prior to ever putting out content, it was the most depressing point of my life, right? As a 16-year-old kid, your identity as an athlete is ripped away from you. You sort of lose the sense of self-worth or motivation or self-confidence, right? In terms of like, oh, I can't do the things that make me feel confident, right? Whether that's playing football or just playing sports or being active. Like there's a sense of confidence that comes with competitive sports that you have to have in order to obviously, you know, be competitive and get physical when you're playing sports like hockey, lacrosse, and football. So I remember being in this very like depressive state that not to say that it went away, but when I ended up going down all these rabbit holes of self-development and entrepreneurship, just from having the time in my neck brace and stuck in my bedroom, that's when I just started going down these rabbit holes of following the Gary V's and Tony Robbins and the Richard Bransons, and just really immersing myself sort of by accident into the world of business and entrepreneurship and marketing. And I think that slowly but surely built up this newfound confidence through all of this immersion of personal development to then be able to just get started in the spirit of the show, right? Like being able to see a different path for myself, being able to envision what my future is going to be like. And yeah, it was born, I think, like this new invigorated self-confidence was from that very dark period where I had the least amount of self-confidence and passion and ability to, want to do anything. Like, it was a very depressing time for me. So I hope that answers your question.
No, I mean, I think there's a lesson there though. You know, my mentor Rich says, you know, what you do is not who you are, but who you are should drive what you do. And I think so many times our identities get so narrow on like, this is, again, you're the football player, right? You're the athlete or whatever, the, you know, extreme sports person, whatever you want to call it. But yet you had more to you. You just hadn't been able to expand it. When you were thinking that, it reminded me, like Billie Eilish, I think she was like a very experienced dancer and she got injured, not to your extent, but got injured and had to be laid up in her house. And that's when she started leaning into her music. And I think about this, the reason I said that is like, do you ever think about like, if that doesn't happen, like who's the Casey today? If that, what was the tragic kind of like life's ending type moment for you, all of a sudden it puts you on a path of, you seem extremely happy. Life's going how you want. You have a lot going on for you. Wow. What happens if that event doesn't happen? Do you think about that often?
I do. I shouldn't say I do in terms of I think about it often, but I am frequently reminded of this event, whether that's from literally like pain in my neck, or I have this neck brace trophy. It's funny. I shouldn't say it's funny. It's great. This artist who I love, Daniel Allen Cohen, he's been a buddy of mine for a while. I kept the neck brace that I wore for 6 years. It was like laying around somewhere in my apartment. And we created this trophy out. We turned the neck brace gold and black and looks like this giant trophy. And there's four words on it. It says, keep going, never quit. And I will say, like, I'm reminded of it, not only through the representation of it, but, you know, I remember my goal as a freshman in high school was to play lacrosse at the University of Virginia. And that was like the pinnacle of success for me, of like what I wanted and desired as someone that has just been an athlete my entire life. And quite frankly, didn't have, I didn't want to go be a doctor. I didn't want to go be a lawyer. I didn't want to just go work at a normal job, but I didn't know what I wanted. When I think about like going from middle school to high school, and as you're supposed to start thinking about these things, supposedly. It's a very interesting thought for sure, of like where I could have ended up, and it definitely wouldn't have been here. And I'm so grateful for it, right? It's like even throughout the years of interviewing so many great entrepreneurs, you realize that so much greatness is birthed through tragedy, whether that's personal experiences you deal with, or things that in your family, whatever it may be, right? So as I've learned that lesson over and over and over again throughout all the interviews that I've done, it's very special to me that, you know, I took this situation and created this whole new path for myself. But quite frankly, that's what happens a lot of times with some of the most greatest thinkers and entrepreneurs, is just that, not to say you need this tragic moment of an injury, but when you have nowhere else to go, you're forced to think differently. And when things change overnight, you're forced to become this new version of yourself. And I think there's as much pain and suffering that is within that, there's so much greatness and change that comes from it. Mm.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know if you follow a lot of stoicism, but like Marcus Aurelius, like the impediment to action creates action. What stands in the way becomes the way. It's kind of like you use it almost as a superpower of like, this is the big boulder. Okay, how do I make it work? How do I figure it out? And that becomes your mission versus what you thought, you know?
I also think too, and I love that, like even like, a thought that it popped in my head, which don't think I've ever said it like this, but it's, I find it very important, is the story you tell yourself about yourself is so important, right? Like when I introduce myself to someone that is not in the world of business, but I just run into them, like, oh, what do you do? Like if I meet someone in an elevator, I have a time to have a conversation. I tell this frequent story like we're doing here on the podcast, but now obviously have the time and the room to expand on it. But it's like, yeah, like grew up in Virginia, played sports, got injured. That led to this depressive time. And then I went out and started my first business, podcast, et cetera, as we'll get into. And like, there's this journey that you get to share for yourself and for others. And I get to tell this story as I've like ingrained in myself over the years. Like that was a moment of triumph and change that has created these opportunities where so many people, I believe, tell a negative side of their story, where they say this happened to me and then it created this. And it's just this domino effect of a downward spiral. And it's not that it's easy, but I think it's very simple to take a step back if you're watching this and say, like, what story am I telling myself? Am I telling myself the story of, you know, this happened to my family or this happened to me and I can't do something because of X? Or are you telling your story about yourself in that something challenging you went through created an opportunity, which obviously is, there's a lot of hardships and suffering within that. But I think it's so important, man, like just in the general sense of how you build self-confidence to the initial conversation we were having, is telling yourself a story of who you are and what led you to where you are today. And not to say that it always has to be positive, but thinking about it on in a more positive lens, I believe, is a very powerful thing to do in the sense of self-confidence and growth and having that innate drive to go do more.
Yeah, I really love that. What, and I think you mentioned like Tony Robbins earlier. Doesn't he have, oh, I'm going to forget it now. I'm going to kick myself. But like the three, it's like the three S's. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where like, it's like situation. It's like when you're in a bad spot, you look at kind of what situation you're at, how that's impacted you, and then the story you're telling yourself. Something, I'm butchering that way, way big. But it's kind of like that, the same idea you're talking about. You can tell the negative story or you can tell the positive. You kind of have that choice, but you have to understand where you're at the time. And you might have to step out of that situation to even give yourself a different light, because the situation you're in might not be a good place to tell that story or to create that story. Something along those lines. But I thought that, I like that.
Sure. I love that.
For sure. When you think about, you mentioned like your 12, 13 year old self, I'm kind of thinking about this now. I just got asked to do this like career fair for eighth graders in a couple months.
Love that.
And well, I'm torn because I'm like, do I sit here and just talk to them about the normal career stuff? And I said, no, I'm not. You know, like I'm going to ask them questions or have them question themselves. So it made me think about coming to this conversation again. Go back 10 years, you're 13. Either what question would you think would have been helpful to ask or to have you ask yourself, or I'll go more simple. We don't have to go too deep. What do you know now that you wish you knew at 13? Is there anything like you think about now that would have been so helpful to give to that 10 year ago self?
My funny answer would be learn about Bitcoin.
yeah.
But granted, I can't go back in time there, right? But no, but in all seriousness, from like a working future career planning slash just like future-based thinking perspective, I think about that a lot, right? I have a niece who is 8 years old this next month. And, you know, over the years of seeing her grow up, I think like, wow, you know, I'm not a parent yet, right? But like seeing the younger generation, which, you know, I'm 23, I'm so young. And 6 years ago when I was starting my show, I was like, wow, 23 is so far away. Right. And now I'm thinking, wow, 30 is so far away. But the amount you learn is just, it's incredible. But if I was to go back and tell myself at 13, I mean, I think the reality is, especially coming from where I'm from, it's just understanding the law of you are who you associate with, right? Like, you are going to become interested in what your friends are interested in. If your friends are, you know, doing drugs and drinking alcohol and partying all the time, you'll probably be the next person to. If your friends are 13, 14, 15, starting businesses and side hustles and, you know, shoveling snow off driveways in the winter like I was, and selling bracelets at the corner, made out of like string to, or selling lemonade at the local pool, you know, like, there's innate characteristics in just how you think. And, you know, granted, no 13-year-old wants to hear like, oh, don't hang around your friends. But as time progresses, right, like, especially in those early years of like middle school, high school, and as you're thinking about your future, I just think it's so critical to audit who you're spending time with, in the sense of, are these people around me like positively impacting me? All right. Or nowadays, right, if you're someone that has so much drive to be a gamer and a streamer, and, you know, live streaming is massive, and you're 8, 9, 10 years old, but none of your friends are streaming, but you have, you know, you're watching all the big streamers and you have this drive, like, you owe it to yourself to like try it, or, you know, to go out and see what's out there. And maybe that's too young, right? But maybe not, right? I think there's an abundance of opportunities now. Mm-hmm. And granted, the world isn't about opportunities, you know, be a kid and embrace that. But if I was talking to myself at 13, I would just get, you know, like, hey, like, when you find something interesting, like, go all in on it. And I believe that's, to an extent, that's what I did, whether that was like video games at a time, or shoveling driveways and, you know, in the winter, or sports, right? Like, full immersion of passion and obsession. That sense of characteristic, I believe, is a very powerful one for a kid to have, right? When you see a kid obsessing over a video game, it's like the double-edged sword. It's like, okay, they love it so much that they want to spend all their time doing it, but what's, you don't want to just dig yourself into a hole that doesn't get you anywhere, or that is a bad obsession, right? But yeah, I think it's just like pursuing passions and knowing the long tail effect of you associate with, and you want to be around people that inspire you and yeah, just be positive role models for you, most importantly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the access, and that's the different with generations. Like, again, growing up, you know, I was born in 83 for context. So like growing up, like even in high school, we had a computer in the house. I had AOL. Do you even know what AOL Instant Messenger? Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
I never used it, yeah. But I'm familiar.
Yeah. So like AIM, that was like the early messaging stuff. But what I'm getting at is like the access to information was not there. We had encyclopedias in the house, but we didn't really have access to the internet probably until I got into college, which is basically right around, you know, you were just learning how to walk then. And yep. Maybe, yeah. And, but what I'm getting at is, I think that's, to your point, I think it's skewing younger now because the access to information is there. Again, I look at my 11-year-old and the things he can look up and things he can learn, the things he watches on his iPad is just unbelievable to me, but good and bad. I mean, there's some bad stuff out there too. You have to watch and you have to put some boundaries in. So I think that's something just to mention, is the information's there. And then to your point, I think, yeah, who you associate with. Well, let's turn it back to podcasting, because now it's second nature to me. I didn't realize this at the time, but the amount of people that I've been able to meet, like yourself, that I could learn from people, it helps grow a network of individuals, again, kind of like-minded, really think differently in ways, but also in terms of, yes, they're entrepreneurial, they kind of have a different thought. And it's amazing, like, everyone has access to that, but how many people will want a cold email and see if someone wants to be on their podcast or wants to interview, but the access is there. Like, how do you think about that in terms of being around those people, like utilizing podcasting for that to learn? I mean, I get a damn MBA from doing this podcast, you know, I mean, it's amazing. So I'm curious how you think about that.
Yeah. I mean, my podcasting journey if you would have told me at 17, when I was starting the show, like what it would lead to, I would you, even though I had these grand visions, right? And the context of the listener, you know, I've been hosting my podcast, The Casey Adams Show, for 6 years, 500 interviews, and some of the likes of Larry King, Rick Ross, Elon Musk's mom and sister, the founders of Twitch and Netflix, and a wide plethora of different characters and individuals from all sorts of different industry. And, you know, it's not just about the people you have on the show, but the understanding of being able to learn from these people and ask them great questions, hopefully, But also the ability to just recognize, wow, everyone has not only their own story, but they're on their own journey. Mm-hmm. And it all started with putting out that first song, putting out, knocking on that first door, putting out that first podcast, right? Like, I think we live in a world where it's so easy with the abundance of information to see Mr. Beast at 200 million subscribers. And you're just like, oh my God, I want to be the biggest YouTuber in the world, or I want to be a creator. But the ability in the lens of being someone that has a show and gets to do interviews, you know, you get to go back to that moment of like, wow, and understand that, like, a deep sense of the journey. You know, Mr. Beast put out his first video, and there was that video that went viral that's like, hi, myself in 5 years. And then he had like, hi, myself in 10 years. And it just started with that first step and that first risk, or I guess you could say like that first sense of action. And I think that, you know, people always ask me like, hey, like, what's the key to podcasting? And before we go into growth and all the guest bookings and strategies, the fundamental reason why I host my show, or there's three of them. One, and we kind of talked about it, it's meeting great people, learning from them, and creating business opportunities within that, right? Mm-hmm. That in and of itself, like in the world of business, you're always going to be dealing with people. You're always hopefully going to be learning, and you're always going to want to create new opportunities. And the lens of in which podcasting lives, long form, in-depth conversations, not only does it help with building your brand and creating content at scale, but it expedites those three verticals of where and why I do a show, of meeting people, learning from them, creating opportunity. And one reference that I always like to make is my last company, MediaKits.com. We raised $1.5 million from 37 angel investors, and about 80% of the angel investors were prior guests of the podcast, or wow. You know, through a second degree of that, people that I met through people that I had on my show. And, you know, that's just one example of the dozens and dozens and dozens of other things that I could dive into. But I've seen that manifest so in a way that is undeniable in terms of not only the value, but the consistency of it. And that's why I love it so much. And that's why, you know, my new company, listener.com, is all about the future of podcasting and the industry as a whole. And, you know, we'll dive into it later. But I think to the initial question of, you know, why I do the show, and I know I've gone on a little tangent here, is it's just so instinctive to my core. And I think a lot of times, you know, it's that idea of like, reinvent yourself. But over the years, I've always told myself like, hey, I'm going to do my podcast forever. Like, it's something that when I had that conversation with Larry King in 2019, I was 19 years old. He was 87 years old. Mm-hmm. That conviction that I felt of like, oh my God, how did I go from recording my first episode on a pair of wired Apple headphones to interviewing, like, if not the greatest interviewer, talk show host that's ever lived throughout this generation, interviewed all like 7 of the last presidents, and has been doing it up until he passed away. Literally, he's 87 years old. And not only through that experience, but just by having moments like that, it's given me so much conviction about not only the future of the medium, but just what it means to me.
I love that. Yeah. Cause I have people that ask me too, like, oh, do you still going to do the podcast? Do you still love? And I was like, yeah, I don't even think about, like, I just love, it's one episode at a time. Like, and that's the thing, going back to the Mr. Beast thing. This goes back to, we were talking about consistency. It's just doing things over and over again over a long time horizon. That's all it is. Anyone that's done anything that's what you would consider quote unquote successful, again, forget about the person that not got lucky, but maybe they hit, you know, they hit something within like what Instagram was that, you know, how many hundred millions of users in the first year to have, like, take those off the table. But for the average person, it's 5-10 years of just hard grinding, pivoting, doing all these different stuff. And then they get to a point, and everyone else just, again, Joe and I were talking about this too. Like, everyone else just drops out. And then you get to a point where, like, yeah, you've done hundreds of shows. So I think it's, I mean, you're obviously still having fun doing it, right? Every episode.
I love
right?
it, man.
Yeah.
I love it. And it's, if I'm ever having a stressful day, or, you know, just a day where I'm like, oh, hey, things went wrong, got to deal with this, but I have a interview on my calendar, either in person or online, not only do I prepare myself to go sit down, but I go from, you know, like dealing with things, putting fires out, to just pure listening and diving into a conversation and hopefully learning from this individual. I come out on the other side so just, the right word isn't excited, but I feel so great because it's the ability to find peace in the chaos that I think,
yeah,
you know, makes entrepreneurship worth pursuing. And what makes great leaders is to look at something, you know, that could be crumbling, or that you got to build your parachute on the way down, you know, the saying goes. And I think having a show, at least how it is in my life, just gives me that time of space to listen, to just be so present. Like, you can't be in a quality podcast and be thinking about all the things in your to-do list that you got to do, or the messages or the emails or whatever it may be that you're dealing with, if you're simply listening and, you know, doing your best job at paying attention and creating the best interview possible. And I just love it. Like, all that aside, I just love doing it. And I know it's, you know, it fits into the ethos of what I'm building now. And it's, it's something I love.
Yeah. You know what I love when you were talking with Larry, the thing he gave me chills when he said, he's like, I'm eternally curious. And it really gave me chills, because I'm like, because I feel the same way. And you're, I think, like this too. It's like that curiosity sparks so much, because to your point earlier, you go into conversations like, you and I don't know each other besides we've met whatever 30 minutes ago, whatever, 40 minutes ago. But there's this curiosity of like, wow, someone has 23 years on planet Earth, like yourself, all the things that you've went to get to this exact moment where you and I somehow met and are able to talk like this. Like, how cool is that? I don't know. I just thinking about it, it's really interesting of like how lives weave together. And then you have that one meeting point. Anyways, I think it's pretty,
it's really
interesting, which is why, again, talking about podcasting, because I wanted to ask you about Listener, like, why do you want to hang your hat here? Like, why is it so important going forward doing this?
Yeah. And I think it goes back to like the story you tell yourself, right? Like, I, for context, you know, I've started many projects, companies, from media company to ad agencies. Obviously having my podcast, to my last venture was a tech startup called MediaGets.com. And what the product was the easiest way for creators, podcasters, musicians to aggregate all of their cross-platform social data into one place, so that when doing brand deals, you can represent yourself in a way that not only represents your cross-platform social data, but it updates it in real time and it's shareable through a link. And my co-founder and I, Kieran, we built this company. We launched it in 2021. And I think, just for the context of the listener, you know, this idea of just get started sometimes makes more sense looking back, where, you know, this idea for MediaKits.com stemmed from early 2017 when my co-founder and I, we had a good friend, JR Garage, this big automotive YouTuber, that they were both from Virginia, and he knew we were getting our, you know, in the world of marketing and branding and just advertising at the time. He's like, hey guys, can you make me a media kit? This company asked me for one, you know, like my social data and like a good presentation for me to send to them. They asked for it. Like, sure. So we make one on Canva, Photoshop, take us a couple hours. He sends it to the brand and he gets the deal. And then 3 weeks later, he comes back to us and says, hey guys, Ferrari North America contacted me. They want to fly me down to Daytona Beach, Florida. They asked me for my media kit. Since we last spoke, all my numbers are wrong. I had this video go viral. Can you go update it for me? Cause I just want to, you know, represent myself in the best way possible. Like, sure. So we go back, we change all the numbers. We're changing the fonts and the colors, send it to him. He gets the deal. And again, this is 2017. I'm still living at home, still in high school. And we're like, you know, why isn't there a way for creators to create a media kit or a digital resume that never gets outdated in terms of the numbers? Like, that, it seems like a simple, clear idea. And we're like, oh, cool, it's a good idea, but we're focused on other things. And you know, it's tech product. Oh my God. Like, we don't know. We're just starting our first business. Like, we don't know what to do. We're just learning as much as we can every day.
Right.
And then we put it on the shelf, right? 2017. And then years go by, ended up moving to Arizona, running a media company. And fast forward to COVID, 2020 comes around. I'm now living with one of my best friends, Kieran, who then is my business partner at MediaKits. And COVID happens, lockdowns, TikTok starts blowing up. And we're like, huh, like this creator economy thing is really continuing to grow. TikTok's blowing up, new social media creators are being minted overnight. Why isn't there still a way for creators to create a real-time media kit to then share with brands? So we just like more so circled back on the idea, and no one was doing it the way we wanted to. We were in much different positions and have learned so much and a little bit more grown up in the sense of things. And then we just went out to, again, like just get started. We had the podcast for years now, had all these relationships, and we're like, hey, you know, technology is expensive. Go hire software engineers, designers, the whole, we had some mentors that helped us kind of see the road in front of us. And we ended up going out to raise some capital again, which was ended up being like just under $1.5 million. And by no means was that an easy path. Learned so much and had a lot of great people in our corner, but ended up raising money from 37 angel investors, launched the business in late 2021. And 18 months later, from initially getting started, we got acquired in September of 2022. And I kind of tell that story and reference it real quick because your question about why listener.com, my new venture, why podcasting is because like through everything in life, right? When you think about people out there, and even yourself, Brian, like one of your best friends in life, and you know, that could even mean your significant other that you've been married to or in a relationship with for decades. When you think about that person in your life that has been with you through the ups, through the downs, and like they're with you every step of the way. If I think about that context in business, it's my podcast. Like since I was 17 years old, like one thing that has remained not only such a passion and something I love to do, but has remained through all the different businesses that I've been, all the different states that I lived. You know, when I was building MediaKits, I was still doing my podcast. Granted, it wasn't getting as much maybe time as I wished during that period, but I was focused on the business. But I was still doing the podcast and still so in love with it. And I say this long-winded answer because as time went on from 2017 to today, you know, the podcasting landscape has changed so much. There's an abundance of capital being poured into it across technology, across media. You look at people like Joe Rogan and all these massive creators getting crazy big deals with platforms like Spotify. And, you know, granted, you can read articles and see like how they turn out, good or bad, whatever it may be. But the business of podcasting is not going away. The aspect of creators launching shows, big brands launching shows, money being poured into the space, it's never been bigger. And more importantly, I've always wanted to build something in the world of podcasting when it comes to tech. Even before launching MediaKits, I had this idea to launch some sort of like podcast tech product that I won't dive into really. So it's always been like this constant thought in my mind, right? Kind of same thing. It was like the seeds being planted all these years to go and build listener.com, which I feel that the last 6 years, everything that I've done up until this point was preparing me to go launch and build this company, listener.com, which I like to describe as a vertically integrated podcast network consisting of podcast related services, tech, and media, which we can obviously dive into. But, you know, we launched about 2.5 months ago now. And again, quite frankly, and even before us jumping on this podcast here, like, I've never felt such a sense of strong momentum in what I'm building. And again, like that story that I'm now telling myself, and now in this case, get to tell the world, it has never been stronger.
Yeah. Wow, man. That's awesome. I could just hear it in your voice, the excitement, which is kind of really cool. And I played around with the platform a little bit. I mean, very clean. I mean, I'm sure it's in the early iteration still, and there's a lot of things that you're like, oh my God, we got to do this and prove it, but very clean. Again, just the fact that you can upload a piece of audio and then it can transcribe it. It can create these, you know, social posts, all these different things that you guys are doing is really neat. So I'm excited to see where you go with it.
Appreciate that, man.
Do you feel, I mean, the angle you're taking now, do you feel there's a gap in the market? Like no one's doing this, or is it like, hey, we're going to innovate and do it better. What's kind of the, I don't know if there's a certain angle you're trying to take or just like, we want to create it and it doesn't matter what's out there.
Yeah. So So what you're referring to, and for the people, so we have our tech division. Like, think of listener.com as this, you know, as this, like, this parent holding company right now that, you know, we have, again, like, our podcast tech product called listener.fm, which is an AI post-production tool where podcasters like yourself, Brian, or like myself, or different networks can upload audio files and receive SEO optimized titles, descriptions, show notes, blog posts, newsletters, and a whole wide range of things that we're working on here. And that's been something that just really stemmed from my innate drive to want to solve my own problem of, like, post-production management from the text-based side. That was the first thing of, like, getting the episode ready to upload directly. So Listener FM is that, in terms of, like, the first tech product that we've launched within listener.com. But listener.com as a whole is more than just a tech product post-production tool. It's podcast related services where we're helping companies launch and manage their shows. We're helping top executives and entrepreneurs share their stories on top business podcasts with our concierge booking offer. And then on the other side, we're building out, like, the biggest podcasting community in the world is the goal across all of our different independent shows that we're launching across the listener.com podcast network, but also our partner shows that we're working with to help amplify their messages, and the media that will come from all of that. You know, people always say, you look at some of the biggest companies like HubSpot. At the end of the day, no matter what business you're in, you are in the media business, right? Like, the digital landscape of marketing and telling your story has never been more prevalent. And the ability to build out, you know, the listener.com podcast network, it fuels the bigger machine in which we're dealing with here with the tech and the services. But that's just for the context, right? Like, in terms of, like, the overall like, portfolio of what we're building, listener.com in my eyes is not only the future of podcasting, but this ecosystem in which podcasters can live within.
Do you find the challenge, like, especially with these bigger businesses, I find they still, it's like the old traditional, like, they're still reading the newspaper. They haven't fully grasped that podcasting is a different way. I think I'm going to go down a random tangent here, because I'm thinking about this. There's some stuff I do for, like, you know, a podcast for the guest side of things. But I find, like, people still think of it as, like, oh, it's just an interview. And they don't think about all the content that can come from it and the opportunities, like we were talking about earlier, all these different things that can come from it. They only think of it like, well, I don't want to do a podcast, I don't like interviewing. And they forget about all these other aspects. Do you find that's the biggest, I guess, crux of people starting? Or is there anything else you're seeing of why people are still hesitant?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, do I think every single person in the world needs to have a podcast like they have social media accounts? Probably not. But do I think that every notable brand person should implement a podcast strategy into their brand marketing? Yes. In terms of, you know, podcasting nowadays is more than just the single audio file that you listen to in an RSS feed. It's this, it's a storytelling aspect. It's long form content in a world consumed with short form attention spans. It's depth and brand building. And most importantly, it's media and video content at scale as well, right? In this world of video podcasts. So, you know, there's no one size fits all, right? Like, an interview podcast is what I have had experience with all these years, and I love doing it. But some of the biggest shows in the world are obviously the true crime, the murder mysteries, the just either informational or educational or just entertainment shows. But when you think about, you know, at least from my lens of the biggest podcasters in the world, it's the Joe Rogan, it's the Alex Cooper's Call Her Daddy, it's, you know, Jay Shetty, Stephen Bartlett, all these guys that are, like, in my, guys and girls that are in my ecosystem of where I, what I pay attention to. You know, you have to really love it, right? That's what Larry King said. And I said that just now, and I remember that it's directly in my consciousness through Larry King. You know, I remember him looking at me in the eyes. He's like, you want to do this? Podcasting, broadcasting, whatever it may be, but this element of what it all entails, you have to love it. Because someone that just gets into podcasting to want to interview cool people, let's call that as a reference, like, not that you're not going to last, but it's so much to manage, and it's a hard medium to grow, just saying it bluntly. compared to this world of short form content at scale. You take out your phone, put out a TikTok, and you can get millions of views, right? That's just not going to happen in the world of podcasting. If you do, granted, phenomenal. There's obviously possibilities, but I believe the future of podcasting and how it evolves, it's going to get more and more, I don't want to say competitive, but the quality of shows, the quality of guests, the quality of, you know, where the investment dollars are going in to build these new shows. There's so many different ways you can approach it, but it's about understanding for you in the lens of business, how it affects you, your business, and why you're doing it. Because so many brands, you know, like a local roofing company, you know, if they want to start a podcast, it's a completely different reason than why Jay Shetty started his podcast, right? So like understanding your reasoning, understanding your why, how it fits into your brand or business, and really committing to it. And that's what we hope to help brands see at listener.com, is not only why you're starting a show, but where it fits into your business, and to help with the actual execution through our services and resources that we're building within our ecosystem.
Well, and you make a really good point there, because I think some folks are like, oh, I don't want to start. I can't be Stephen Bartlett, man. That's a big, you know, productive, you know, show. He's got like 30 people that work on it. I can't do that. But the reality is, yeah, if you're a local business, why not have something where it's different around your town, where you start interviewing people or having conversations on the street, whatever it ends up being. And you could do it. You don't have to do it at massive scale. So I think that's a great point, that everyone has that opportunity. It doesn't have to be like everyone else. Make it your own, make it unique. Right.
Absolutely.
What's the biggest hurdle you have up in front of you with Listener? What do you, anything you'd share of kind of the struggle that you're trying to overcome right now?
Yeah, man, I think my big mantra of the year 2024 is simple. It's leadership development. I believe that, you know, any great team, any great business stems back from a great team. And in a world of, you know, so much talent out there, and, you know, a lot of big companies doing layoffs, I believe it's never been more important to build a company or be on a mission with people that really love what you are doing and want to be a part of that mission. So, you know, there's always hurdles with finding great talent and, you know, really getting buy-in on what you're doing. But I think as I move into this year, and as we're continuing to get clarity and building out our ecosystem of what we're doing, you know, that will by nature attract the right talent that we want to build internally, within the podcasting ecosystem, you know. And, you know, even outside of that, right? Business challenges can also stem back to, especially in the early days, like personal challenges, right? I think as someone that, and I always ask this question on my show for founders, especially like post exit, it's, you know, why did you decide to go focus on this next thing in a world where, you know, you have this clean slate, you want to go do something new again, because you are just like have this innate drive. And I spent really all last year, like, after I left the company that acquired us in early 2023, after that, it was a lot of going inward, and not to say shutting off from the world, but really thinking about what I want to go build for the next 5, 10+ years. As I think about, you know, I'm 23 years old, and where do I want to be by the time I'm 30, from where I'm spending time, who I'm spending it with, what I'm spending it on. And I think that, you know, the hurdle is just staying clear on what that vision is, but also obviously, you know, being hyper-focused on leadership development and the actual execution, and just get started, right? Like in a world where, you know, you could go build tons of different companies, you know, even the greatest entrepreneurs in the world, right? Starting something new, like, there's a special force that comes with that, right? Like, I'm not a father yet, but, you know, I hear it all the time. It's like having a kid and then another kid. It's like that fresh, clean slate of like, all right, this is a time to really set the foundation of your values, what you stand for, what you want to go build. And that's the phase we're in at listener.com, and really what we're excited about, and also very knowingly of, you know, the opportunity and the challenges ahead.
Mm. What do you, is there anything specific you did when you talk about looking inward? Like, do you journal at all? Do you sit and meditate? Do you do anything that, whether it's out of the ordinary or something, you know, across the board that other folks may do, but I'm just kind of curious how you think about going inward.
For me, it's journaling for sure. I journal a lot. I kind of write notes to myself, current self, future self, you know, asking myself as much as I ask questions to others. I think it's equally as important to ask questions towards yourself. You know, like, what are you dealing with? What's been the hardest thing that you've had to get through in the past year? How are you feeling about that now? You know, what are you excited about? That's always a question that I like asking people, because I believe natural excitement piques a lot of what you're naturally curious about. So yeah, I think it's about asking myself questions, journaling, but also being open, like embracing an open-mindedness in your day-to-day life, right? I think, you know, in a world where you can be so in your own rabbit hole of where you spend time, you know, David Meltzer, I just had him on the podcast for the fourth time, and he had a quote. He said, don't work so hard you forget to make money, meaning he's like, you know, if only if I would have, and everyone can have these moments and they're not great to reflect on, like, if only I would have focused on crypto and I heard about it, but I didn't have an open mind to see what, you know, what's it all about, and really to just have an open mind about life. I think that's a huge part of going inward, is just allowing yourself to, again, goes back to the ethos of what we're building, like, be a listener, listening to what's around you, different points of views, what's happening in you know, new industries with AI and tech and media, and, you know, seeing what, you know, at the largest scale, like, oh wow, like what Elon's doing acquiring Twitter. Like, you can just like negate so much in the world and not pay attention to it, which granted, a lot of it you should, but it's important to have that, at least for me personally, I should say, in terms of what going inward means. It's having that reflection balanced with open-mindedness to what's going on around you, because most of the times that's where a lot of greatness is created, is in that natural curiosity and open-mindedness to learn more. And that stems back to, you know, me at 16 years old, when I had an open-mindedness to say, like, oh wow, like what's this, you know, YouTube ad of Tony Robbins talking about something. Let me click on it. Oh wow, like he seems like a great person. Let me check out one of his books. Oh wow, like Success Principles. Oh my God, Gary Vee. And just this whole different rabbit hole that you can go on, versus if you're on social and you see an ad that you might have a curiosity in, but you just swipe right by it, you kind of shut yourself off from like the potential of what that could be. And again, and I'll end on this, by no means should you chase opportunities and try to go learn a little bit about everything. By no means should you do that, but just have an open mind in life and remain curious and be a listener, because sometimes it's so easy to miss what's happening right in front of you.
Mm. Wow. I love that. Yeah. By the way, I saw, tell me if I'm wrong on this, but don't you have one of Jesse Itzler's big ass calendars? Don't you have that? Did I see that?
I do. It's right here.
That's what I thought. I thought I saw that in one of your videos. I have the same. I was going to ask you, do you have a Masogi for this year?
Masogi for the year. So my Masogi for, in the physical sense of like the big thing I want to do, is run a 3 hour 15 minute New York City marathon.
Wow.
New York City marathon is like the biggest marathon in the US. It'll be my I guess this is also something great in terms of the spirit of the podcast, just get started. So I set out on a goal. In the last 2 years, I ran two marathons. First one was in Honolulu, Hawaii. For context, is that if anyone runs, I ran it in 3 hours and 36 minutes. It was 8:10 pace on average, and wow, felt great about that. My goal was like finish sub 4 hours and don't stop. The following year, which was this past December, 2023, I tried to hit that 3:15 and I didn't train properly. I didn't set myself up for success in a lot of ways, looking back, and I totally like had the worst running experience of my life. Hamstring cramps, had to walk the last like 6 miles, run on and off, terrible. I learned so much through that, more than I learned in the first race. Obviously I learned in the first race, hey, if you just say you can go do it, put on the calendar and train and go for it, like, you're going to have success. Right. And granted, not all conditions remain the same in different environments.
Right.
But yeah, for the Misogi this year, it's to my point of this journey I'm on. I want to do all 6 world marathons over the next 6 years. So from the age 23, before I'm 30, in a sense, I want to do all 6 major marathons, which consist of the New York City Marathon, Chicago, Boston, London, Berlin, and Tokyo. And this Misogi of the year is really the first chapter of that book and that story that, again, I'm telling myself, and something that I get to look forward to in, you know, from the physical sense, in the spirit of the Misogi and what I put on my calendar this year.
I love that, man. I'm running my first marathon this year. I'm thinking about, like, do you have any, selfishly, any tips of, like, book to read, do this or that, like, to train, anything that was helpful?
So by no means am I an expert, right? I've done 2 of these things. But before I did my first marathon, someone that you should have on the show, a guy named James Lawrence, okay, the Iron Cowboy. Are you familiar with him?
That's the coolest name ever, but no, I don't think I know him.
So he is one of the coolest guys I've ever met. He broke the world record for the amount of Ironmans done back to back. So prior to him doing and breaking this record, it was 5 Ironmans back to back, meaning 5 Ironmans over the course of 5 days, which, for people that may not know, like 2.4 mile swim, 120 mile bike ride, running 26.2 miles. So he ended up breaking a record by doing 50 Ironmans in 50 days in all 50 states, and I believe in 2018. And then to make things better or worse in his physical sense, he doubled it and then did 101 Ironmans over the course of 101 days, I believe in 2020. And, you know, it's like, why would he do this, right? And it just, it speaks to the aspect of mental toughness. This was his whole mission, to push through when you just think you can't. And he set out on this and did it. And I tell that story and reference him because if I was to give you advice, it's not coming from me. It's more so coming from this icon and legend. I interviewed him before I did my first marathon. And, you know, I'm taking on this, as you are, like, this giant challenge that I've never done. And, you know, the way he breaks it down, just like anything, like I talked about in the Mr. Beast lens, his first race, he was so intimidated to do a 5K race with his wife, like a turkey trot, years and years ago. That was the biggest thing for him at the time. Then it was, you know, a 10K, and then a half marathon, then a marathon, then a half Ironman, then an Ironman, and then all the way up to breaking the world record for most Ironmans in a row. And the simple advice that he gave me is, you know, when you're in that race, what he calls the hurt locker, like in that unknown territory of just pain and suffering, focus on the next step in front of you. And if it's not going to kill you, you can keep going. And, you know, some may say that's cliche advice, but the ability to just remain so present in the chaos and to focus on the next action in front of you, like the physical next step. If a man like that can use that simple wisdom to get him through 101 Ironmans in 101 days, I think you and I can take that same wisdom and try to apply it to a marathon, or even, you know, someone out there running their first mile.
Wow. I love that. All right. I got to look up, Mr. Iron Cowboy. That's freaking impressive. Oh my, I'm just trying to comprehend doing that amount of activity every single day for 101 straight days. It's just, anyways, that's insane, dude. All right, let me get you out.
Incomprehensible.
Yeah. All right, let me get you out of here. This is oh my God, a blast. Any final words of wisdom, questions, challenges to the audience? Anything you'd share to wrap up our conversation?
I would say in the spirit of the book I'm reading now, it's Richard Branson's 2nd autobiography. And I just personally love everything that Richard Branson has done, how he's just had fun along the way in his life. And I think that it's very important that no matter what you're doing, do it with the people that bring you joy, that gets you excited, and that you're excited to spend time with. Because in all aspects of the life, especially in the world of business, like, you can choose who you are spending time with in terms of partners, and not necessarily customers and clients, right? But yes, to a certain extent. But yeah, spend time with people doing the things that you want to build, because at the end of the day, like, that's where you will enjoy it the most, have some fun. And I believe that in a world where so many people are just take themselves too seriously, Richard Branson, to a lot of people, including myself, has been this sort of guiding light to just don't take yourself too seriously, have fun doing it, and just do it the way you want to do it, right? And he's embraced that wholeheartedly in terms of breaking Guinness World Records, in terms of sailing a hot air balloon over the Atlantic and breaking, I think, 7 or 8 world records. Like, he's just done so many great things in his life outside of business to live a full life. And I think that's something that no matter what age you are, really think, like, what does a full life mean to me outside of business, health, wealth, love, happiness, whatever it may be for you? And what does that look like? That's something that I'm personally doing now that I want to share with the audience for sure.
Wow. That's a good way to end. If you go to Decker Island to interview him, I'll gladly come tag along with you.
Dude, that's the goal, man. I would love to do that. That would be, I should say, I will do that. It will, I'll like let it. You know whenever that it has manifested.
Yeah, there you go. I appreciate it. Casey, this was a lot of fun, dude. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey. I appreciate it.
Of course, Brian. Really appreciate you having me on.
Hey, everyone. And just one more quick thing before you head off on your day. If you're enjoying this podcast and are looking for other resources and tools to help you get started and move forward toward a happier and more fulfilling life, then I'd encourage you to head over to my website, brianandraco.com, and hit the subscribe button in the upper right corner. There you can find my newsletter and blog subscriptions, where I share insights and information around getting unstuck, perspective, mindset, relationships, habits, and much more. If you get a chance to sign up, I hope you enjoy. Thanks again for listening in, and have a phenomenal day.